Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon, a conversation about all the good things in the bluegrass with your host, Mike Warner.
Welcome to Brokers, Builders, and Bluegrass. Brokers, Builders, and Bluegrass. Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Mike. I've only said this now for 2.5 years on Saturday mornings. Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Mike Warner, co-owner with my son, Chris, of Warner Builders. Co-owner with my wife, Leah, of Warner Realty. We're your one-stop shop. If you're buying, selling, remodeling, doing an addition or new build, we'd love to talk to you. And my guest today is my good friend, Eric Frankel. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So just brief introduction. You are executive director of the Bluegrass Airport.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I've got that down. Now, tell me a little bit about where are you from?
I'm from Ohio originally, Northern Ohio, small town, USA. So but in our industry, of course, to move up, you got to move out. So I've worked in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and since 2009 here in Lexington.
Fantastic. So you grew up in Ohio. What part of Ohio?
It's northwest part of Ohio.
So Cleveland?
No, it's closer to Toledo, or maybe halfway between Toledo and Cleveland.
Okay. All right. Were you a Browns fan?
Yeah.
Yeah, you say that with some reluctance.
Tough to be a Browns fan.
Oh,
But someday I'm going to be one of those guys that actually pays off, that I can always say I was a Browns fan when we do make it.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be a rainy, a sunshine Patriot. So,
well, Chris and I, we were fortunate enough to build Tim Couch's house when he retired from the NFL. You know, he's the number one draft pick for Cleveland Browns. So we're kind of Cleveland Browns fans too, why not?
Yeah,
we keep up with him. But so grow up there, where'd you go to college?
There's a university up in the northwest side called Bowling Green State University.
Okay.
When I moved to Kentucky, of course, I always have to clarify because people think when I say Bowling Green, they're thinking Kentucky, but obviously it's Bowling Green in Ohio.
So. Yeah. I actually believe that my maternal grandmother graduated from Bowling Green University. Yeah.
Wow.
She was a school teacher. I'm pretty sure that the story was always she graduated from Bowling Green and her husband graduated from Purdue. And when you think back, I mean, they were born in the late 1890s and both of them graduated from college.
Wow.
That was not something you heard of back then.
Particularly for women, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you go to Bowling Green, and so what did you study? Did you always know you wanted to be in the airport aviation world, or how did this come about?
I think so as a kid. Of course, like most of us, I thought I wanted to be a pilot. I did want to be a pilot, honestly. And then I didn't realize how expensive that was.
Mm-hmm.
So this was my backup plan.
Yeah.
But there is an aviation program at Bowling Green State University. Very similar to EKU, Eastern Kentucky University, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar size school, similar size program. So, again, I went in to start thinking I was going to be an airline pilot, and actually have my best friend growing up became an airline pilot for Southwest.
Great.
But I just ran out of money.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah, that happens. So you graduate, and what's your first job out of college? What did you go do?
So, in that time, man, it was a lot tougher to get a job in aviation than it is today for the kids that are graduating today. But my first job was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and kind of like a catch-all, entry-level, work at the airport kind of thing. So worked there probably for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then I applied for a job, got invited to go to Springfield, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Then Fort Wayne hired me back
at
a higher-level position. And then Springfield, Illinois hired me back as the airport director.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Toledo, Ohio as airport director, and then down here in 2009.
That's great. Siblings?
Got 12.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now, we've had a lot of guests on here, and I always ask about siblings. We've never had one with 12.
Yeah. I mean, some people think it's fun. I wouldn't highly recommend it, but, my parents, of course, are probably a good Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
That was the way they brought us up. But
it was
fun. And obviously, we all get along, which is amazing.
That's great.
Volume. So
yeah, I'm an only child. So it's like
just the opposite.
One end and the other. Yeah, 12 kids and then one.
Yeah.
Wow. So where'd you meet Linda?
Well, she was also in the airport management industry, and she worked in Columbus, Ohio. And when I was in, I guess it was in Fort Wayne the second time, Yeah. Mm-hmm. The second time I was hired back there, we met at an industry conference.
Great.
So, yep, and just we're friends for years and just developed and turned into, next thing you know, we're married. So,
well, congratulations.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Well, yep. She is, and because I know that firsthand because we had the opportunity, Warner Builders did y'all's condo conversion downtown here in Lexington. And
turned out great. It was awesome. I mean, and I'm so glad we did it, and really, really nice, comfortable place to live.
Well, it's, we come down, you got Carson's across the street, you've got East End Tap down below you now. I mean, these great restaurants downtown now.
And of course, neither of those were there when we first moved in, so we were so happy to see having some options on that end of the town. But, we like living downtown, and even if it weren't for those, we like walking down to the restaurants and bars. It was great for us. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't live downtown like you, but we live on North Hanover, so we're, three or four blocks east of the east part of downtown Lexington. But it's nothing for us to, on a Saturday morning, get up and walk to the farmer's market or walk to Kentucky Theater and, things like that. It's a little bit more of a walk than you've got, but it's not bad. And now that Gatton Park's open, we bike down there.
Yeah, we walk down there, too.
That's nice.
That turned out wonderful.
Yeah, they've got concerts. Colin, you played down there just a couple of weeks ago.
Sure did.
At Houndfest.
Yep.
Really?
Houndstock.
Houndstock. Houndfest. Woodfest.
Exactly.
The OG. OG.
Well, it was. But it's a great park, great addition to Lexington. And so that's cool. So the airport itself, because you grew up in Northwest Ohio and moved around a little bit before you ended up here. I was born and raised here. Like, this was my hometown. Spent 4 years away in the Air Force. But, I grew up when we called it Bluegrass Field.
Yeah,
we called it Bluegrass Field. It wasn't a grass strip, but it still was called Bluegrass Field. And I can remember I took my first airplane ride there. I was 8 years old. It was 1963. And a lawyer named Charles Hembree. He's passed away now, but he had a little 172, and he was friends with my dad, and he took me up for a flight, and it was love at first sight. Like, I was hooked, but I didn't fly again for probably six more years. But, I mean, that first introductory flight of just the liftoff and being up and looking down and seeing things changed my life. And then I took my first commercial flight probably in about 1969 and flew to Florida and have ever since, never stopped after that. But that first flight was –
do you remember what airplane that was that you flew to Florida in?
I think it was a 727.
That would make sense.
That's what I kind of figured it was, 727 to Florida, but had a great time. And but the airport, my reason to say all that is – the airport was so different then, and not just 9/11. 9/11 changed everything as well in the aviation world and everybody's world. But it was just a place you could go and hang on the fence and watch the airplanes come and go.
Yep.
The when you got your bags at the end of a flight, it was in a little, like almost we call in a horse industry, you called a run-in shed. It was a covered thing out in the field that you'd go get your bags at the end of it. And it was just so different. And then I've watched it evolve over time and seen the additions and improvements. And I've watched the West End, the private aviation area grow so much. That was, when did y'all do that? Like
2010.
2010.
That's when that runway was built.
Yeah. So that's been a little while too. But that general aviation area over there is so great.
Mm-hmm.
And you've expanded the terminals, expanded everything about it out there. But now there's big news.
Yeah.
Tell us about the big news.
So we recently announced, that's a great introduction because you kind of go through the evolution quite a bit. I mean, the current building that people see right now, that was built in 1976, and it's been expanded three times, maybe four, depending how you look at it. So the last one was in 2006 with what we call our Concourse B, which is where most people catch their flights. And so that's 20 years old.
Yeah.
So what we recently announced that we have to do a pretty significant overhaul to that existing terminal and add a lot more gates because for several reasons. I mean, first of all, Central Kentucky is growing.
Yeah.
And this is a great place to live. I mean, we love it here, and everyone else is figuring that out too. Mm-hmm. But then the aircraft size changed too. So, you know, instead of having 50 and 70 seat aircraft that service Lexington, mm-hmm. we now have, you know, 135, 160, 176 seat aircraft mm-hmm. that the terminal was never built for. So our seating areas are too small, our restrooms are too small, our restaurants are too small. The
yeah.
building is just really needs to be renovated completely. Yeah. The challenge, of course, is how do you do that when you still need to operate it 24/7, 365? And most people may not realize this, but our last flight gets in at, you know, if it's on time, 12:30, but usually mm-hmm. 1 o'clock in the morning, and then 3 o'clock or 3:30 in the morning, people are showing up the next day.
Yeah.
So we are about a 24-hour operation, and we can't take the building down. So obviously, we have to figure out how to expand the terminal, remodel the existing terminal, and still let it operate 24/7. So we recently announced what we think is going to be the first several phases, which may be upward to $500 million mm-hmm. of investment that's going to have to happen. And we actually foresee like 10 phases right now. But again, it's a little too early to know how this is all going to play out. But it'll take mm-hmm. us probably a decade to do because yeah. we'll have to do piece by piece. But the biggest portion that we're getting ready to announce, that we've just announced, really is a new concourse, which may be upward in the $250 million just to do that part.
Wow. So be a third concourse? Be Concourse C?
I think what's going to happen is it is a third concourse initially, but then we'll ultimately end up removing Concourse B as we know it.
Okay.
And it'll be a big sweeping kind of a J-shaped mm-hmm. kind of hangar
yeah.
or a terminal.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
When's that go start?
So probably not fast enough from our perspective.
Yeah.
We are definitely feeling the pain where we just can't really accommodate many more aircraft or many more mm-hmm. New destinations. So what we're actually out for proposals right now is for a new car rental garage. So we have to build a new car rental garage so we can demolish the current one, which is attached to the terminal,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and that's where the terminal would expand to in that okay. direction.
Cool. So what do you foresee in the near future being 10 years, in terms of size of airplanes coming in here? I mean, and I say that only because the 7-4 is no longer really doing much anywhere. But
it was just here this week.
It's last here week, this week?
It was here last week. The Shakes.
Okay, well, they were the only ones that could bring right. it in. They had the short body one. But right. but we always were told that the runway length wasn't long enough for some of the bigger airplanes, for the bigger nonstop flights. But today the planes are so efficient, you can get nonstop. We've got nonstop to Denver, I think.
Vegas.
Yeah, in Vegas. So that's really not a concern anymore. Do we need right. a longer runway?
Well, we have a 7,000-foot runway, mm-hmm. and we do a master planning effort where we evaluate, first of all, the aircraft manufacturers, what's being mm-hmm. built, and then where the destinations that we're likely to probably want to go to out of Central Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And 7,000 feet, by and large, with the aircraft, as you said, with aircraft mm-hmm. being built today, what could accomplish us getting us to the West Coast?
Yeah.
So, you know, would I like that extra measure of another 1,000 feet? Probably.
Yeah.
But for people that are familiar with the airport, we're constrained on two sides,
yeah.
and there's not much chance that that's going to happen. But frankly, again, during the 20-year forecasting period, we feel very comfortable mm-hmm. that runway can meet the needs of our community.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. We you know, we talked before the show. I flew the F4, and even with the F4, of course, if we didn't have a cable at the end, if we had a cable at one end or the other, I think we could get into a 5,000-foot runway. But if it didn't have that, it took like a 10,000-foot runway. Of course, the F4 is not even flying anymore, and there's a reason for that. It just had too much speed, no lift, and took up a lot of runway. But we, you know, we could have had Lexington had a cable, we could have had, you know, come in here and done some air shows and things like that. Yeah. It'd be kind of fun to have an air show here.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to do. I mean, actually, all three of my other airports, we had that cable. We had F-16s at all three of my other airports. Mm-hmm. So I'm familiar with that.
Yeah.
But I think one of the constraints with, you know, Lexington, as much as, you know, I think a lot of the airport and aviation people think an air show is cool, it's really about parking and, you know, how to get people on the site. We just have no room, you know, to do anything like that. So
we just expanded the long-term parking, didn't you?
Yes, we did. That helps.
Yeah.
But it's getting people on the secure side of the airport for an air show that's hard to do.
Yeah, that would be. Well, listen, we just got our two-minute warning here. We're going to close this segment with our sponsor, which is Commonwealth Window Company. We are proud to be a part of their network where if you're looking to replace windows in your home, check out commonwealthwindow.com. We are a certified installer, so if you can't remember anything else, just give me a call. Mike Warner, 859-421-0800. We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Mike Warner. We've got Eric Frankel here today. He and his wife, Linda, are airport dignitaries. I looked at your resume just a little bit before I came in here, and you've won some pretty prestigious awards as an airport director. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, you know,
it's okay. You can brag on yourself a little bit.
You know, some of this again is just you happen to be in the right place at the right time. You got a great team that helps you, and you know all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I am kind of proud of some of these, particularly the safety ones. We've got one from the FAA for our safety program. This is back in 2010, which we're proud of. Obviously, that's our number one priority. Mm-hmm. But I also received one from the general aviation, the corporate aviation industry, NATA, National Air Transport Association, for our relationship with the private entities. And, you know, proud of that one because mostly when you get to airports our size, everyone thinks of the airlines and the commercial service. Lexington, you know, we have a pretty good mix here. We've got a lot of private pilots and we got a lot of corporate aviation that goes on that serves the bourbon community and the horse industry. So we got to pay attention to those users as well as the airlines.
Yeah. Well, you do a great job. We've had the pleasure of owning two hangars there and building one hangar there. We built one probably 10 years ago for Joe Richardson. But it is that you all have done an excellent job of still making it feel like an airport that's friendly and get in and out of. And before the show, we were talking with Lynn Martin about Lexington and Signature has been here a long time. I know before that we had TAC Air, and before that we had Sprite Flight, I think was an FBO. And I think Dr. Joe tried to get an FBO
going. Air 51.
Air 51. But do you see any change in the way the FBOs are going to be handled here in Lexington?
You know, that's a great question. I do see some changes coming where we feel like, and again, for people that aren't familiar with the airport, we have two sides of the airport. The side that everyone's familiar with where the terminal is and the airlines are. And, of course, that's where a lot of the corporate activity occurs. But then we have the west side of the airport, which, is for private and most general aviation-type operators. Mm-hmm. And we sort of run the operation on that side of the airport. We, the airport ourselves, our own employees take care of that. We fuel airplanes and that sort of thing. And Signature, our FBO partner on the east side, takes care of the airlines and the corporate. We have a few years left on that lease, but we think that that business model doesn't work as well for Lexington as it may at other places, and that we think that it's likely that we would probably take that over ultimately when that lease expires.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, it's from a pilot's perspective. You know, I think they do a good job. I think they're friendly. It's clean. You know, to pick up somebody there that flies in a private plane, they do a nice job of making you feel welcome and special. But you know, competition is just a good thing in anything. Yeah. It is in our business as well. So I think it would be good to have that opportunity for a second
FBO. Honestly, if we, you know, it's very difficult for our airport our size to have two fixed-base mm-hmm. operators to provide those services right. and then them both be financially viable. It was tried. It just didn't mm-hmm. work. So we think the next best thing is for us just to operate it.
Yeah.
We certainly are a for-profit entity, mm-hmm. so we're not looking to give yeah. things away. But we have much more, I think, moderate goals in terms of what our return on investment is. But the other thing I think is good for Lexington is to keep that money in town.
Yeah,
and we absolutely. Reinvest that in our airport.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I think it's great. Does Signature – so I still occasionally, and I'm starting to get back into it again, fly a little bit, and I use the self-serve pump on the east side. Is that Signature – am I buying from Signature there, or is that
– so? We did enter into sort of an unusual agreement with Signature, mm-hmm. with TAC Air before them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where the airport made the investment in that fuel farm,
mm-hmm.
and the airport sets the retail price.
Okay.
But we get our fuel from Signature.
Okay.
For now.
All right.
So it was just a way to kind of keep, particularly for the general aviation pilot, mm-hmm. to keep those prices reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made the investment, and that allowed us to keep the price down.
That's good. Yeah, it is. It's reasonable. I still would like to see it lower.
Of course. I'm shocked.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Right. So let me. So I want to back up a little bit. I'm gonna, because time gets away from me, Eric. But I'm gonna say maybe it was 10 years ago. There was talks, and we put a team together. There was kind of a talk about redeveloping the extra land at the airport, and it was put out kind of as people to put together. And then I really think COVID hit or something happened and it just kind of stopped. But I remember we got together with SVN and some others, and there was several people competing for an opportunity to present a redevelopment of some of the land out there, and it just kind of never happened. Update on that? Or?
Well, you're right. In that these are a couple of parcels that the airport owns that are on Man of War itself,
mm-hmm.
and you're right about that. But you're also right that COVID kind of interrupted things, mm-hmm. but. Frankly, the other thing that happened, of course, is we started to do our master planning and our terminal area plan. And so one of those parcels that we were going to develop, we are using for the
Good.
Expanded parking.
Yeah.
The other parcel we may be able to do some development on, mm-hmm. but we were very cautious about that because we just don't know how the airport's going to grow and expand.
Yeah.
You may be aware, and congratulations to the Aviation Museum of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be relocating.
I heard that.
To one of those parcels all that are on Man of War.
Okay.
And they were fortunate enough to get a couple of state grants, and we think that makes sense for the airport because we need the hangars that they're in, we need back for business and corporate
right.
aviation. So this is all playing out very well, I think, but I'm mm-hmm. kind of glad we didn't develop
yeah.
when we were thinking because mm-hmm. that would have really limited ourselves at that point.
Yeah, it would have. Selfishly, because we were participating in the bidding presentation, you know, the idea of a hotel out there and some retail and
yeah.
things of that nature would be pretty cool. We're one of the few airports that you can't stay at a hotel at or on the
yeah,
near
which
the
was
airport.
Which was our intention at the mm-hmm. beginning. But I'll tell you, you know, that initially, you know, I came in 2009. That concept initially started in 2006 when we didn't own the property back then.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
But really, since I don't know 2014, 15, you look at what's happened now. There's I think 6 hotels in Beaumont.
Yeah,
3 miles away.
That's true.
It was very difficult to make that viable market wise
right.
to make it financially
yeah,
viable.
Yeah, you're right. I hadn't thought about that.
Given there was so much more competition than there was in 2006 when
yeah.
that concept first started.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, that's pretty cool. I'm excited to see the airport grow, and I'm excited about the museum too. I take my grandkids there every time they come. It's an opportunity for me to show them my old airplane.
Oh, yeah.
They've got the old right. F-4 in there.
Yep.
Ernie Fletcher's maybe, or just painting his name on there. I don't know, but love to see the old F-4 in there.
Man. That's big too.
Yeah, it is. It's a big and I think. People don't realize how big it is until you stand next to it.
Yeah,
And then you're suddenly like, this is a huge airplane. Yes.
And very loud back in the day.
Extremely loud. And before they put the low smoke engines on there, it had a flame out the back that was light up the sky at night. But it went from a yellow, red to a blue. And then when it went to blue, it was no smoke. It just wasn't as dramatic or something to me. But
good old days, right?
Those are the good old days, yeah. But it was much more fuel efficient and better for the air. But I see a few smaller military jets coming in and out of here, naval and Air Force trainers and stuff like that. Is this a stop on their route?
It's not as much as we would like.
Yeah.
This is one of our goals, I think, if we do bring the FBO operation in-house, mm-hmm. is to try to expand that military fueling contract.
Mm-hmm.
We have some folks that come visit us because, first of all, particularly bases that are close to the Gulf,
mm-hmm.
we're sort of a secondary location in the event of a hurricane that they can redeploy their aircraft up mm-hmm. here to protect them.
Yeah.
But then we have some folks that are from Lexington or Kentucky that, you know, they're doing their flight training, they're doing their cross countries, they pop into Lexington.
Yeah.
But not as much as we'd like to see.
Yeah. My flight training was in West Texas, in Lubbock, Texas. So to get to Lexington was not. We weren't going to get here.
You're Air Force guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
T-38?
Well, T-37, T-38, yeah. And but we did our cross countries more. You know, Texas is just such a big state. We could do a cross country and stay in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a great time. But I do see every once in a while those old, I see like an old T-37 or something come in, and it's pretty cool. And the Navy, more Navy flights too come in and out.
And we get, you know, some C-130s that are doing some attractive.
I see them doing a lot of approaches. Do they ever land here?
I don't know. I've not really seen them land, with the exception mm-hmm. of, again, when the president comes
mm-hmm.
and they've got their military escort aircraft there with them, which is really 141, C-141 mm-hmm. or something like that.
But. Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah. When Air Force One's here, it's a big deal.
Yeah, that definitely stands out for sure. And it's, you know, I assume people probably know this, but it's pretty complicated for us to accommodate that.
And
security wise.
Yeah, and Air Force too. I mean,
same thing.
Same thing, yeah. And I mean, I flew in last year sometime, and Vice President Vance was here, and he was just greeting people and just slow getting inside the airplane. We had to sit on the tarmac, you know, we couldn't even go to the gate. It's like we had to sit there and wait. And you know, I'm all for being friendly, but it's kind of like we're ready.
It stops everything.
Yeah.
It stops everything when that happens. And, you know, I always remember this when I think it was President Trump that came in, and I think it was he came in at a point that Keeneland was trying to let out.
Oh, my.
And that caused a major traffic jam.
Oh, my goodness. I bet. Yeah.
Wow. I remember that happening. I got caught on the tarmac for the VIP situation for J.D. Vance, and then coming home. I was going to West Palm, then coming home, I got stuck there for a couple hours waiting for Donald Trump to fly out.
Yeah.
I was just like, why am I following these guys around?
It stops everything,
yeah.
But security is security, and that's why it's there for. But
Eric, I've got a question for you. So,
sure.
And I know a lot of research goes into this, but when you're thinking about new flights, direct flights from Lexington, who do you talk to? Do you talk to other airports who are getting a demand, see the question? I know you do a lot of research and all that kind of stuff.
So I'm going to say this is
a great question.
It is a good question. I mean, there's probably as much art as science in this to some degree.
I'd imagine.
We do have data. We can collect data. The airlines provide a certain amount of data to the federal government as part of their reporting. So we can see where people are going to. We also can look at, you know, credit card data, mobile data. We can get some sense of, hey, if people live in Fayette County, but they're driving to CVG and then they end up going to LA. We kind of can see, we don't know the people, of course,
but
we can see the trends of that, and we can give the airlines that information. So there's consultants that take that data, compile that data. We present it to the airlines. Of course, the airlines will do their own analysis, but that's sort of a give and take. They see things that we don't see, but we can bring things to their attention. If we see trends or even anecdotal trends, we know you guys would probably know too. We can know a million people that go to Fort Myers or go to Naples.
Yeah.
Well, we know that data, And we know a lot of people have second homes. We can provide that data to the airlines. Again, we don't attach names to it. We don't know that, but we know so many people are going to that area.
Yeah.
And we can give them that information, and then they can cut and paste it.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Again, you get some level of data, which helps you on the science side, but then there's anecdotal, and it's how you feel, and do we think this market will work? I mean, Denver is a great example. I mean, we didn't have Denver to what, 2 years ago, and now they just increased the aircraft size to an A319, 320.
Yeah.
That thing just is doing great. That service is doing great. But you got to convince United that, you know what, we think this is going to work. We have good reason to believe it's going to work. But you never really know it's going to work until you do it.
Yeah. Right. So I was wondering, does it ever become a bidding situation where United and Delta and American, are they ever looking to get that nonstop to a destination?
You know, we're kind of cautious about it in that we don't want to create a situation where, okay, we finally talked Delta going into Boston, and then American also goes into Boston, and neither of them are profitable.
Right.
So we're kind of cautious about trying not to have an airline or a route step on one another, because we don't know if we have enough traffic in the central Kentucky region to support two airlines going to the same destination.
Yeah. Great question, Chris. But again, this segment's up. We're going to take a quick break. If you're looking to replace windows in your home, commonwealthwindow.com. Check them out. As a builder, I highly recommend them, and we'll be back after the break.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. Mike Warner here with Eric Frankel, the Executive Director of Bluegrass Airport. And Eric, talking about Lexington is one of the things that we all enjoy about the Lexington Airport is the convenience of it, the ease of getting in, and you brought up during the break, you know, yes, but that's, you hope nothing goes wrong, and so we all have to plan for that. But it's a great airport to get in and out of real easy. The bigger question though is the connections we have to make at the next airport. How many direct flights does Lexington have now?
Yeah, so I'd say a couple of things about that. First of all, interestingly enough, and now, you know, we'd made this announcement about this big expansion that we have going on, and some people are thinking, oh man, they love the convenience, they don't want it to be too big. And it's interestingly enough, I have a governing board of 10, and they have kind of given us direction as staff to say, we need to expand the building, but you can't make it less convenient.
So how do you do
easier,
that?
Yes, exactly. That's the challenge of the lifetime. So we're going to try to figure that out. But to your point, obviously, that's what we're known for is that convenience, that ease to get in and out. We do tell people, don't push it too much. I mean, again, things can happen at the checkpoint. We have equipment. Equipment breaks down. If you get, instead of three lanes, we get to two lanes, things could delay it. But we're certainly known for that convenience, the ease from the parking lot in and through security. It's a great situation for Lexingtonians, for sure. But we are proud of the service that we have, too. I think we're up to now 19 or 20 direct destinations. But the other thing I tell folks is what's really important, too, is we have, like, I think 389 destinations around the world that we can get to with one stop. And obviously, that is convenience in and of itself as well for Lexingtonians. But the other thing that's really important to Lexington and Central Kentucky and the Commonwealth is getting people to Lexington with one stop. And if you can get from London to Lexington with one stop through New York, Atlanta, wherever, Dallas, from the South America up here, from the Pacific through Detroit, through Minneapolis, and you can get here in one stop, that's really important for economic development reasons for Lexington. So we feel like we've got that really good fit. We go, and part of it is geographic. Where we're located in the country is, you know, we're close to Chicago, we're close to Dallas, we're close to Atlanta, we're close to Detroit. And that's really important for Lexington, but yet we still have low fare service, particularly to Florida and a lot of the markets that people like to go to. So we've got a really good mix.
I don't know how the airlines do the fares, but it's amazing to me because today with Expedia and Travel Velocity, you can look at all these things, and it's cheaper most of the time to fly out of Lexington to, let's just, I go to Montana. Lee and I go to Montana skiing. And we fly into Bozeman. And it's cheaper for me to go Lexington, Chicago, Bozeman than it is to drive to Cincinnati and fly direct. It just works out that way.
Yeah.
And I like that.
I think it people really need to look. It's hard, you know, because people just make the assumption sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, frankly, sometimes it's true.
Yeah.
Know, where depending, you know, if it's, you know, within a couple of weeks and our planes are filled up and there's more seats available out of Louisville or Cincinnati, those are going to be cheaper, mm-hmm. obviously. It just kind of depends.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never just automatically assume that we're more expensive.
Yeah. No, you can't. And it's a great place. So do you, I got some Chris?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, to the benefit of Lexingtonians, the convenience of getting home, you know, the convenience of visiting and tourism is huge. But mm-hmm. the convenience of getting, when you fly into Cincinnati, you get in at 9 p.m., you get in your car, you drive back. You're looking close to midnight before you get in bed, whereas flying to Lexington, the convenience yeah. of getting out, getting
even
your car.
If you still get here at midnight, you don't have that hour and a half drive.
Exactly.
No yeah. question. And exactly. I think most Lexingtonians do appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, again, we think of, because we live here,
yeah.
there's a lot of folks that we get from eastern and southern Kentucky that it's even further for them mm-hmm. if they fly into
yeah.
to Louisville or CVG.
Right.
So. We think like we are the most attractive airport. You know, again, as long as prices are reasonable,
mm-hmm.
we feel like that's our market.
I read the press release and then I watched you on the news. You're going to expand the customs, and I didn't really know. I mean, are these private?
Yes,
private jets coming in.
Yes, so I mean, it does get confusing. We do have a local U.S. customs operation. For private aircraft, we have a lot of aircraft, both corporate and personal aircraft, that come from Canada and Mexico mm-hmm. primarily,
mm-hmm.
That can fly directly into Lexington. It's not U.S. Customs like people might view because
yeah.
they fly through a passenger terminal, mm-hmm. but it's really for the private aviation. That current location is another place that's in the middle of where we're going to have to demolish to build the terminal.
Okay. But it's pretty cool to have a customs.
Very convenient for the, yeah. particularly for the corporations, particularly.
Yeah.
And again, we want to be, we wouldn't need to be attractive to the corporations as much as we do to passenger service.
Sure.
Those people that employ people and they're flying, and again, the bourbon industry and the equine mm-hmm. industry, and that'll come through with Breeders' Cup, particularly. Hosting
yeah.
Breeders' Cup is a big event, and
it's huge for
and we'll
Lexington.
End up closing our second runway and using it as a mm-hmm. parking lot for all the aircraft that
yeah.
we end up. So
yeah, I as I said, I grew up here in Lexington. I took my first flight with Charles Hembree, 1963, and I've watched this airport grow. But I did not, and I always knew that our very first airport was in Metathorpe.
Correct.
Yeah,
but there was a second one too.
That's what I didn't realize until
yeah.
today. Recent thinking about this show. Was where Fassig Tipton is.
Correct. Cool Meadows Airport. Yep.
I had no idea that was there.
Yeah. In fact, you know, if we could go back in time, that was a great location for an airport.
It was. Think about that. You would have all the expanse in the world.
Oh, yeah. And again, close to the highway system and all
yeah.
that stuff. But, you know, 1940, when the airport, when the current Bluegrass Field mm-hmm. and airport mm-hmm. came around, we were way out of town.
Yeah.
You know, Keeneland was way out of town at that point in time,
yeah.
so it made probably sense back in those days.
Yeah, it did, but I did not know that Fassig Tipton was the second Lexington airport
yeah.
until today. That's pretty cool, interesting. Yeah.
I was just going to say that when I go to the airport, usually before I'm flying somewhere real far away, I'll stop into the Bourbon Library and
mm-hmm.
I have a little Stag Junior pour, and then
there you go.
Doze off on the flight. But
there you go.
Our airport's cool. They, you know, they got the bourbon store where people come in, they buy a bunch of stuff, and I'm sure you're happy to have that.
Yeah, yeah. So this was very interesting. I was talking to my CFO yesterday about this. We had no idea how that was going to work because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's on the other side of security. So, you know, people may want to take a bottle of bourbon with them. They're going to have to. They can't take it through the checkpoint. They would have to check it through their
right.
bag. We just didn't know how that store was going to work. We had no way to know that.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, has that been successful. You know, most people that fly in, they see the store because it's on the way mm-hmm. out, and they'll remember it, and then they'll they'll buy it. And what's really been interesting to us is, you know, there's a legal limit to how much you can transport. And I think it's five bottles or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many people buy five bottles.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. What's the guy's name that has that? I know him. He lives out.
That's not coming to me right now.
He lives out there in Wellesley Heights. And he used to have a bourbon and wine on Nicholasville Road. And it was really great. It was a membership thing. And he would, like every week, he would have a bag there with your name on it and, you know, the wines and a bourbon that he had selected for you based on your membership level. And it was kind of cool. And then when he moved out there, he closed that down. And I was kind of like, well, how's this going to work? Like, that was pretty cool what you had. But this is real neat because I tell you what I do, being from Central Kentucky and the bourbon capital of the world, I buy when I leave to take as a gift to somebody,
yep,
rather than check it through my bag and a have to worry about that. Yeah,
I like. But at the time, we didn't know that.
Yeah.
We had no way of knowing whether that was
Jim
be
Taylor.
Six, Jim Taylor and his wife Bev.
Yeah, that's them.
Yeah, I mean, super great people. And, I mean, it was great to support a local business, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, I give them credit too. You know, we didn't know if it was going to be profitable, and everybody's, you know, making an investment and taking some risk there. But boy, did it turn out well.
Yeah. Well, you know, you come in, you see all the horse farms, you land, you come out of the terminal before you get out of the airport. So the second biggest tourism thing's right in your face too. It's that.
Yeah.
I always enjoy it, and it smells good walking by there too.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's really cool. What, I lost my train of thought there for a second, but it'll come back to me. But, the airport itself, as it's grown, other than, well, let's just don't even consider length of runway. What's been the biggest challenge of growing this airport?
I mean, probably depends which day you catch me, honestly.
Yeah.
I just think it is a incredibly regulated industry. And I say that, and of course we would expect that with safety and security being highlighted, but I'll tell you, we are regulated for everything, and it's really – and most people don't know this. People think of us as part of the city or as a unit of government, and we are sort of a unit of government, but we operate like a private sector business. So we don't receive any taxpayer dollars, and we are trying to run a business in a hugely, highly regulated industry. And every day it seems like there's more regulation, and again, some of them are legitimate for safety or security reasons. Some maybe I would argue with about, but – we have so many different stakeholders and so many different interest groups that all come together at this one facility. And whether it's private aviation or corporate aviation or the airlines or air traffic control or FAA or TSA, aircraft maintenance operations, we are trying to do it all on one 1,100-acre facility. And I would love to have the twice the size just so we could accommodate some growth.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're getting it done. We continue to figure out how to put 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag, and it's working. It's working for Lexington.
Yeah, I know what I was going to bring up was I have participated in the honor flight with my dad.
Oh, yeah. Proud of that.
What a great thing that is.
Yeah, we are super proud to do that, and obviously – I'm a veteran too, so you know we're grateful to those folks, and we want to support them. And it's and you know we basically offer the facility, but Honor Flight is an organization that you know, gets our veterans out to DC and back, and we're so happy to be able to support them when they do that. And we're grateful that they get that opportunity to come back, and a lot of fans out there to welcome
them
home.
It's special. I was my dad's escort because I, too, was a veteran. What branch were you in?
Air Force.
Oh, so was I.
Air Force, Air Guard.
Cool,
mostly
cool.
Air Guard when I was going through college.
Yeah, well, fantastic. Thank you for your service. But because I was a vet, I got to be my dad's escort. And so the two of us, I mean, it was like, this is the best day of our life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you land at D.C., It's you are Air Force One. They the buses, the police, motorcycle, they just block off all the traffic and off you go. They get you to every place you need to go and then back to catch that flight home. And there's no traffic because the police escort part the sea. But coming back into here is so special that night.
And I tell you, of course, we're seeing less and less of the World War II vets.
Yeah.
But boy, was that emotional when you see a lot of these older gentlemen mm-hmm. that serve their country and getting the welcome. It's just heartfelt for sure.
Yeah, it is. It was great. What about in the part of this $500 million expansion, will we see, or is there even a need, because Lexus is not really a layover site, will there be any Sky Lounge? I know we've got a little bit of one now, but will are Delta or American, is anybody going to think about doing anything like
question.
That?
That's a great question. And we have one, and that mm-hmm. we, the airport, operate. Mm-hmm. And so we basically offer it to, again, those customers who are members of other lounges. So whether it's mm-hmm. Delta, American, United, or whoever, mm-hmm. they can come up to our lounge. It is small. And I suspect
it's nice.
It's very nice. It's comfortable. Mm-hmm. And again, it's our heaviest users. So we want to reward them. Mm-hmm. I suspect we will try to include a larger version of that mm-hmm. in the new concourse. But we just haven't got that far.
Yeah. Are there – is Lexington – do many connecting flights – are we ever the second leg of a flight?
You know, sometimes that is the case. I mean, if – and particularly it's just – some there's some weird nuances that occur mm-hmm. sometimes where – I guess, you know, again, if you're in Detroit, you can connect through Lexington to go to Atlanta.
Okay.
You know, if you if you couldn't get a direct flight, or mm-hmm. same with out of D.C. or out of LaGuardia.
Yeah.
You know, you can come here if that schedule works out for you. It's just mm-hmm. not very often that that happens.
So the history, as I was briefing for this today, first flight was a Delta DC-3.
Yeah, 1946.
Yeah. Flew out of here, and then shortly after that, I think an American flight did. So the glamour days of the 60s, 70s, the Pan Ams and TWAs, did they ever come here?
Not that I know of.
I can't remember either.
I'm trying to remember whether we might have had Braniff. We have Eastern. We had Eastern for a while.
Yeah.
But I don't know that TWA was ever here.
Yeah. Those. Have you seen the – has anybody seen the movie that John Travolta just produced about his flying – so it's a somewhat of a documentary of how he got so involved in aviation. Takes him from like a kid and his very first flight and stuff. And and at the end, his daughter's in it, his sister's in it, his wife's in it. And then at the end, he's the captain on a retirement flight. But it's kind of cool because he's my age. He's 71. I'm 70. But those days, I mean, people used to wear a coat and tie to get on an airplane. You know? And you could smoke, right? You could smoke on the plane too.
I wear pants every time I fly. I don't know why.
Pants?
Yeah.
Some people wear pajamas. I see people wearing anything and everything. But I can remember where it was such a special thing to get on an airline and, you know, you dress up, you'd look nice. The food was incredible. And
well, Eric, we're almost done here, but I want to jump in. I had a jackpot kind of lottery situation in Atlanta last week. Flew into Atlanta from Myrtle Beach, coming to Lexington. Had a 30-minute layover. I was on the same plane, same gate to Lexington.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
They said that never happens.
Yeah.
Particularly with only a 30-minute turn, you'd be impressed.
Yeah, I would have been impressed. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for being on the show. There's so much more we could talk about. This last couple of minutes, we just like to hit on the fact that, number one, you're a guest because you are the executive director of our airport. You're doing a great job. We can't wait to see what it looks like in the future. But we built yours and Linda's condo.
Yep.
So if you're listening this morning and you're thinking about remodeling, doing an addition, new build, equine, whatever the case may be, Chris and I would love to talk with you. WarnerBuilders.com, 859-421-0800. If you're buying or selling in Lexington or surrounding areas, my wife Leah, we'd love to talk with you on that as well. Warner Realty. Our commissions are negotiable, but our service is not. We give you our very best every single time. And her number is 859-221-8487. Is there anything else, Chris?
I think that's about it, man. Colin, you got anything?
I got nothing.
All right. We're
proud to be part.
Except you need to buy more flights and go to the airport more.
Do that more often. Last but not least, the sound of the hound. please listen to HoundFM.com. They've got an app, HoundFM app, that you can now download on your phone. And when I do that, I drive back and forth to Birmingham quite a bit. And by the way, there's no good way to get to Birmingham. That's a tough one. Yeah. But I drive there, I download that app, listen to Hound music the whole way. So thank you, Colin, for letting us be a part of the Hound Network.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for having the show.
All right. Well, we will be back next Saturday morning. Listen to us. Call me with anything you need. We always sign off with a howl, like a hound howl. So just be ready. You ready? Yep.
Listen to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon, presented by The Hound, 96.1 FM. Saturday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Followed by the Horse Racing Radio Network from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.